Welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast, helping you invest in property for freedom, choice, and profit. You'll learn new, innovative, and multiple streams of property income, whether you want to start, scale, or systemize, and even if you don't have deposits.
Evening, everyone. Kevin McDonald here. I'm going to be interviewing Estvan Vai. Estvan is a member of my No Money Down training. He's on my mastermind program, and he's been in property now for about 2 to 3 years since the start of his journey. And what I want to do tonight is get Estvan on and talk to you around his challenges, the things that his obstacles he's faced at the start. Was it all really easy and straight for him, or is plain sailing, or were there some challenges? How did he overcome those challenges? And take your questions, basically. So if you have any questions for Estvan, that would be amazing. So hopefully he's going to accept, he's going to request to join. I know he's watching, I just need him to request to join me. And I'll add him into the live. So get your questions ready. Really, really good, interesting evening plan, because he didn't get to have it all his own way when he started. There was challenges at the beginning of his journey. He overcame those challenges, and he's gone on to start to build a really successful business. So thanks for joining me this evening. Obviously, you've been watching the midweek McDonald's, the No Money Down TV for the last few weeks, so you're the latest guest. For anyone watching before we start, if you are liking midweek McDonald's, the No Money Down TV, my interviews that I do every Wednesday from 7:30, give me a hashtag NMDTV, hashtag No Money Down TV, hashtag midweek McDonald's. And also Conrad Guida watching, so he's doing a double your income challenge for me, so make sure you're involved in that. Double your income or quit your job race. So hashtag double your income, hashtag quit your job race. Conrad's, we got them doing this challenge a few weeks ago. He's already doubled his income, so now he's on a double your income again. But for the rest of you, you can just double your income. But tonight's about Estvan. Tonight's about Estvan's journey and the challenges that he's had. So can you give us a hashtag, we love Estvan, because you're going to in around an hour. So as I said, thanks for joining us. So for anyone listening, Estvan, we'll take questions from everyone during the evening, but for them, can you tell everybody a little bit about your journey? So what you were doing before you came to Progressive, before we met, what sort of job you had, were you in property, did you have any property experience, and then what did you do? So if you start there, so people get a background of who you are and stuff.
You should know by now, Kevin, I have a short memory. That was about 5 questions in one. I mean, you know, how do you expect me to answer all those and remember?
Who's Estvan?
I know, yeah, that's rewind. So first of all, thanks for having me. I mean, obviously, it's great to join. I'm a bit disappointed I wasn't number one, but, you know, that's okay. We'll let that go. I'm okay with being number 3.
Yeah, you're number 4.
So what about 4? Yeah. Even worse.
You got in the top 5.
Yeah, I can't count.
There's no order to this whatsoever. It's and the reason you're on is because you basically begged me, go, please, 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 can it be me? Please, can it be? I'm kidding, guys. You didn't.
Yeah, so life was a lot easier before property, I've got to tell you that much. But I'm certainly enjoying life a bit more since I started in property. So what have I done before? So for those of you who don't know me, I have an accounting and finance degree, and I've been in the sort of finance and accounting industry for the last 12 or so years, and worked in many places, some blue chip companies, some accountancy firms, etc. So nothing to do with property whatsoever. The only property sort of experience that I've had was purchasing our own home, which we did in New Zealand quite a few years ago. So I actually became one of those people in a short space of time that Progressive teach on some of their courses. You know, I became one of those accidental landlords that you may have heard of. So I got promoted to the UK about 2013. So we had a house that we lived in for 10 months, and then we had to move out of it and move to the other side of the world. So of course, you know, you don't just sell it straight away because you just bought your dream house. So I ended up becoming an accidental landlord. So that was my only property experience up to the point where I met you, and I went to Progressive event, the multiple streams of property income, which was, I think, end of 2017. So it's probably coming up to 3 years now. So it's quite a few.
Two and a bit years, yeah.
Yeah, 2 and a bit years, yeah. So, and that was when I met you, actually.
Best day of your life, eh?
So that was this... Yeah, that was this really jumpy, loud guy on the stage, you know, talking all sorts of nonsense.
Somehow he convinced me.
I'm just singing your praises here. So you convinced me on a weekend that I should sign up to your course, which is called Rent to Rent and No Money Down. And I think that kind of changed a lot about my life to date, to be honest, because, you know, not just the learning, but the connections are made in those 3 days, and I guess the enthusiasm and the bug that you put in my ear over those 3 days in terms of what can be achieved. It's kind of changed, you know, how things have been going in my life since then. So 2 and a bit years, a bit of a roller coaster, sort of 2 and a bit years, because obviously it's not easy. It certainly wasn't for me, and I guess we'll talk about it in a bit in terms of how I got to where I am. But look, I've been really enjoying the journey. I certainly learned a lot over the last couple of years. Here we are talking again on live Facebook with you about me. So
a lot of people, when they do a training or they join the progressive community, so we're in the community at the moment, there's 30,000 people in here, over 30,000 now, it's huge. And a lot of people are looking to get into property. Some have already started. Many people, they maybe go on a training and they don't get... I see a lot of people that want instant results, become an instant success, get instant results. It's the world we live in today, where everything is about, it's got to be now. The click of a button, immediate. Was your results, did they come immediately? Because what also happens, just before you answer this, is I see people that when they then don't get the immediate result in the first 2 or 3 months or whatever, they quit and they go, this doesn't work. So tell us a little bit about, for after you met me and you came on my training, did you get immediate results? What happened?
Yeah, so I went home on Sunday evening and I got 5 deals on a Monday at 10 o'clock. No, only joking. No, nothing like that at all. I had many months of struggles, basically. So I didn't just finish Kevin's course, by the way. I didn't just do the 3-day course. I actually ended up signing up for your mastermind course. And not because I didn't understand what was going on in the 3 days. So I didn't just stop at the 3 days. So I actually signed up to your mastermind course, which is... one of the reasons for me to signing up to that wasn't necessarily because I didn't understand what was going on and what we discussed over the 3 days, but it was more around the fact that having a full-time job, I kind of figured out, so I'm just going to put some light here. I figured out that it's not really going to work if I do this on my own, because, you know, there's a lot of great things that obviously you teach, and I know there's great things that people have achieved. But, you know, having a full-time job and having a family and all the rest of everything that happens in life, you can easily sort of steer you away from your goals and, you know, what you sort of, all the enthusiasm you come away with after the 3-day course. So I thought, you know what, I want a bit more of this. I want to keep that up and I want to be staying on course just so I can achieve all those things that you talked about, and all those things that you've achieved over the years. So I joined the mastermind, and there are a lot of people on this mastermind that, you know, achieve a lot of great things a lot quicker than I have. It certainly took me many months. So for those of you who have not heard of this, so that's a 6-month course, a 6-month program. It took me, I think, 7 months or 8 months in the end to actually get my first deal. So it certainly wasn't the quickest one out of your all your mentees and students, Kevin. But
I remember our conversations where you used to show up and go, this doesn't work. I can't make this work. My area doesn't work, etc. And I tried this, I tried that. And was there points where you felt like quitting?
No, I don't think so, to be honest. I mean, it's obviously disheartening. It was more disheartening in terms of, you know, you want some sort of result and achievement for your hard work and efforts you put in, right? So I guess that's more of a confirmation that you are on the right track. And I think that was probably the biggest problem, and that just wasn't coming.
Yeah.
But still, I think that was, again, the great thing about the mastermind for me is that I kept going back every month. And you sit on a table and you sit on a table with someone else who has just achieved something. And you're like, oh, fuck God, you know, this does work. You know, maybe I just need to do more. Or maybe I just need to keep doing. Maybe I just haven't got there yet. And, you know, there's people who post certain pictures on social media and this, you know, the miners with the pickaxe going with, you know, towards the gold. And the one guy turns around like that far away from the other side with all the gold. That kind of picture sort of always stuck in my head and go, look, I could be just that close. What if I just keep going for just a bit longer?
And this is the reason I wanted to get you on tonight, because a lot of people, it's not just about bringing people on that go, look at me, look at my results, look at this. I wanted to bring somebody on and mix it up a little bit with people that can relate to everyone in the community that struggled at the start but kept going is the key thing. Trusted the process, backed themselves, kept going, and believed that you were close. And if you were to turn around, and I remember what I used to say to you and the other mentors would say to you every month you'd come in, which was, you know, you're not achieving nothing. Don't base your results on the keys of a house. Don't base your success on the keys of the house. Every time that you do a viewing and you don't get a deal, you're learning something. Every time you go and speak to an agent, you're learning something. That's knowledge that you're going to take forward with you on your journey. And the deal will come. And the hardest deal you'll ever do is the first one. After that, the confidence builds, stuff gets easier. So you mentioned you went 7 months before the first deal. When the first deal came, how long, that was a rent-to-rent deal, right? How long did it take to get the second deal?
A couple of weeks, basically.
A couple of weeks.
And that was exactly what it was. You know, it builds your confidence. You get to the point where it's like, okay, no, actually, this does work. And all those things that I've been doing, yes, it's taken me 7 months. But I always had to just look back and go, well, actually, I'm still doing this part-time. I'm putting a lot of effort in on the weekends and evenings. But still, I'm only doing part-time. So had I actually been able to sort of put all the effort in there, your full-time attention, I probably would have got a deal. You know, so it's, you know, there's all these factors that I always had to just go, look, you just got to take a step back and actually just be calm about this and just actually just put it in context. If I was doing it full time and still not getting results after 7 months, then I probably should just look in the mirror and go, maybe something isn't quite right. Maybe you're not doing something right. So, but yeah, so 2 weeks after the first deal, we got the second one. And after that, we got a few more in the next few months as well. So it's one of those things. The first one, like you say, is the hardest, definitely. And I think it's more just a confidence thing. And for you to be believing in the process, and the process that you follow actually does result in the you know, the what you want, the deals.
So. And this is a really key message for people listening tonight, is that stop looking for instant gratification, instant results, immediate results. Yes, it happens to some people, but it doesn't happen like that for everybody. And don't worry about what somebody else is doing. If you do a training, if you're going after a strategy, whatever it may be, and you and Bob are going doing the same thing and you do it at the same time, and Bob gets a result and you don't, it doesn't mean that you're any worse than Bob. It doesn't mean that Bob's in a better area than you. It just means that Bob got his result quicker. You keep going. It's your journey, your race, your time, and your time will come. It's just your time will come at a different point to the other person. So don't panic about it. Your time will come. Just make sure you trust the process. You keep following the steps. You keep taking the action. And make sure that you've got that accountability and that drive within yourself as well to push yourself forward. So guys, get your questions for Estvan. Who's got questions? I haven't seen a question come through yet. So any questions for Estvan, any questions that you want, anything you want to know, anything at all, I'll make sure he answers every single thing that you put up there, even the personal stuff. Give me your questions in there. Now just get them in. Let us know. I'll pass them on to him. And let's try and get you moving on your journey as well. So Estvan, at the moment, obviously, you mentioned there as well about doing this part-time and not quitting your job. And one of the things I always say to people is don't jump out of the airplane, like all excited, thinking I'm going to be a millionaire in 6 months. Stay in your job, build your parachute and jump when you're ready. Are you glad you stayed in the job and not jumped earlier? Because quite often I see people jump too soon. I personally, I waited in my job till I replaced my income plus some. What's your plan?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, actually, because, you know, you could very easily fall into that trap of, wow, this is brilliant. This is going to make me loads of money. I'm going to go for this 100%. You know, in 6 months, I'll be out of a job. I don't even need a job. You know, I've seen it happen. And while I think it can work for some people, I've very rarely seen that it actually does work, unless you've had some previous property experience or you're very good at sales. I think salespeople tend to do really, really well, to be honest, from what I've seen, because obviously a lot of negotiations and deal making does come down to sort of sales attributes, which perhaps I don't possess as much of as a lot of other people do. So I would say for me, it was a hard struggle at first to do it next to the full-time role, but I'm glad I did it that way because it allowed me to almost take those steps in my own pace, take those learnings and properly digest them and just go, look, is this actually really going to work in the long term? Had I jumped now, could I be in a position in 2-3 months time that it would actually be sufficient for me to survive? Mm. And the answer was for a long time, no, quite simply. And it was frustrating for me because I really wanted it quicker. And I think most people are like me, you know, I'm not saying that I'm the most impatient person in the world, but everybody likes things a little bit quicker, and especially this day and age, like you say. I mean, if you want something, you press a button on Amazon, it's there today or next day, right? So you can't escape the instant gratification, and it's, you know, we live it on a daily basis. But yeah, basically, so yeah, the answer to that is absolutely 100% happy with the decision that I didn't take full-time straight away. But now it comes a time for me, even actually is time for me to do that. So I'm going to join the property investors network who do this full time. So I've got exactly 1 month from today. So 1st of August, which is my birthday, actually. So I'm giving myself a small birthday present and I'm going to do this full time from the 1st of August.
Can we give Estvan a well done, guys? Come on, he is becoming a full time property investor from the 1st of August. 2 years, right, 2 years and a little bit after walking in the door and meeting the crazy Irish guy in Peterborough, 2 and a bit years, he's full-time in property. This is, guys, 7 months, 8 months at the start of his journey, he didn't do a single deal. He'd replaced his income. Now, here's the thing. You could come and think, okay, I want to replace my income in 3 months, whatever. 2 years, who'd be happy with 2 years? Just give me a yes, please. Yes, please, if you'd be happy to replace your income in 2 years. Some people work 40, 50 years of their lives and never replace their income. This man has done it in 2 years. He deserves some love. Can we give him some love? Come on, give him some love. We're getting loads of woohoos, Estvan, actually. Lots of thumbs up. But guys, 2 years. Trust the process, never give up. Estvan, I've known him, met him every single month pretty much for the last 2 years. He could have quit. He was down. He was thinking it's not working. He could have quit, but he had the mentality and the belief within himself to keep going because quitters never win and winners never quit. And that man right there is a winner. And he's going full time on the 1st of August. So I'm really proud of you, man. And it's an honor and a pleasure and everything to watch your growth and your journey over the last couple of years. And obviously you've done rent to rent and you're not just doing stuff alone now either. So you're looking at joint ventures, you're looking at other strategies. What's the plan? What other stuff have you got in the pipeline? Where is the Estvan Vibe business going from here when you go full time?
There's a few things in the pipeline, basically. So we obviously have the core business of rent-to-rent and HMOs that we've built up quite a few of over the last couple of years. So I want to grow that further because we've done a load of work in the last 2 to 3 months, so during lockdown especially, to just strengthen a business properly. I think we got to the point sort of last year when it was more strange. It was one of those things where you quite kind of become the victim of your own success at first because we kind of, we've got loads of deals. We filled the houses really quickly and it almost gave us a bit of a overconfidence in terms of, oh, this is easy. You know, we're just going to fill the houses, no end. And we hit the sort of period.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Back end of last year, and then COVID obviously just accelerated that we had a few empty rooms, and we got to a point when I was like, wow, okay, this is actually quite serious. We got down to about 50% occupancy at some point, which obviously not where you want to be, as you know very well. You know, if your HMOs are not near full occupancy, then you all of a sudden not making as much money. So we focused a lot in terms of how we could fill the rooms, and now we're back to full occupancy again. In the last few weeks, I've basically just managed to fill all the rooms. So we now need more properties. So my focus actually is going to be continual pipeline on those. So keep finding more properties, and not just the property side, but also the tenant side. Because that's one thing you learn over the, you know, as you go through the process. It's not enough to keep getting deals on houses. If you can't fill them, your business doesn't exist. And I think it's a lot of people overlook that. Your business really lies of how easily and how well you can stock your houses with tenants, because that's where your money is.
Yeah. Well, you always say cash flow is king. Cash flow is the focus. Oh, yeah. If you don't have that cash in the bank to keep you up to 50%, to have that cash and make sure you're doing deals where there's room for voids and stuff to keep your business afloat. So,
which all of our deals were, don't get me wrong, we had plenty of fat in the deals. But if you have all of a sudden out of five rooms, three of them being empty, doesn't matter how well you've done your numbers, all of a sudden that's not a cash flowing property. It's one of those things.
Esteban, people sometimes say to me, that's the problem with rent to rent, empty rooms. See, that's the problem with rent to rent. You take on a rent to rent and you got some empty rooms. Now you got a problem. I told you this rent to rent. COVID-19, anyone with rent-to-rent properties are in trouble. If you buy a house and own it, and you got five rooms, whether you rent it or own it, here's the challenge. When you own it, you put in a 25% deposit plus legal costs and stamp duty and everything else. You got a heck of a lot more money tied up in the deal, but you still have the same house. So the answer isn't buy it. Mm-hmm. The answer is learn. What Estran's saying is learn how to fill your rooms. Learn how to build a business where you can keep your rooms filled. So I've got a question from Ollie Estran. If you could, from Ollie Oxley. Ollie's online all the time.
It's not Ollie Oxley, is it?
It is the Ollie Oxley. So Ollie is saying, if you could go back to the start of your journey, what one piece of advice would you give yourself? Stay away from the Irish guy. No, what one piece of advice would you give yourself?
I guess be a bit more patient, really. I was very impatient with myself the whole time, and I think that's why you saw me whinging and moaning at all those masterminds.
I've kept meetings. The messages.
It's just that, I think. I have you now. Okay, great.
I still have all your messages from the very first one.
So that would probably be one of those. So I would be more patient with myself, because it's a key attribute, really, just to realizing where you are. Where you're heading, and you know, a bit of patience goes a long way, because you can really easily beat yourself up in the process. Because they don't have the patience, that's the end of their career. So I hope that answers your question, Ollie. But to go back to your original question, Kevin. So
when I asked the question, we've got 28 people watching. I asked the question at the start: whose internet is bad? Is it Kevin's or Estvan's? Nobody, not one person, actually told us the answer. So I'd love you right now to tell me who's the internet that's bad here. Is it mine or is it Estvan's? Just say Kevin's bad or Estvan's bad, please, because not a single person helped us out. I'd love a little bit of help with that.
I have no idea.
What other questions have we got? Estvan, well done. Kevin's is bad. Okay, hopefully it's... Is it better now that I've gone to 3G, guys?
To be fair, it was okay for a while, and then just got really...
So, Alan Cleary is going, do you specialise in rent-to-rent, or what else do you do?
So, yes, that was my specialty initially. So, what I'm doing now as well is, because I did rent-to-rent HMOs to begin with, HMOs kind of have become my focus. And it's one of those things that I know people like to jump from one thing to another, you know, go after the shiny pennies of, oh, serviced accommodation, oh, HMOs, oh, BRR, oh, you can do that all day long. I've learned a great deal about HMOs over the last couple of years. So what I'm actually doing now is I'm working with investors and helping them invest their money in our area. So we're purchasing properties with people now, and also still doing rent-to-rent. So the model is the same. The only difference is that obviously the ownership structure is different. But everything else, the house is the same. You know, you're still looking at rooms. There's a lot of knowledge, a lot of specialty knowledge, I guess, from that perspective that's been built up over the last couple of years. So I think I'd be stupid to waste it and start learning something completely new and investing my time and effort into that. I'm not saying I'm not doing anything else. Obviously, looking at, especially now that I'm going to go full-time, I've got my eyes on some different things as well. But the primary focus and my core is still HMOs.
Which comes back to the concept of the whole no money down thing, which is a lot of people go, no money down is not possible. And yet we make it very clear, no money down is, literally you could do a deal with no money because you could get a rent-free period from the landlord at the start and get tenant rent in before you pay. But before you have to pay the first month's rent to the landlord, you could do vendor finance, meaning no money down. But there's no money down is the concept of it is no money down, little money down, and none of your own money down. And somebody online is going to go, little money down, that's not no money down. But the little money doesn't have to be your money. And no money left in are other people's money. So you mentioned there, it's obviously, it's still the principles of no money down, which is finding deals for other people, joint venturing with other people using their money. So have you found it easy to attract people with money that want to invest in your area? What sort of tips would you have, a couple of tips for people if you're thinking about how to raise money? And just on this, next week from Tuesday, there might just be, maybe, not sure, maybe, possibly, might be. I did a no money down challenge in the community about a year ago, this time last year. I might just maybe, who knows, do a challenge next week, starting on Tuesday, maybe, not confirmed yet, but maybe. Look out for it, because it might happen. Wink, wink, if I could wink. Challenge on helping people in the community raise money, joint venture, etc. So keep an eye out for that, if it was to happen, which I'm not saying it is. Maybe. But let's start that off right now. Estvan, have you found it easier to raise money? Is your mindset changed in the last couple of years around the ability that you have to raise money compared to previously? And I'll finish that with a couple of tips for people on what they could do to get started.
Yes, the short answer to that is yes. I do find it easier. I think that was one of those, for me as well as most other people, as I think, who new to property, is why would anyone invest with me? You know, that was always the question in my head. It's like, what have I got to offer? And that's the thing that I think people need to clear up in their heads in terms of, yes, what do you have to offer? And I think it could be anything. It could be your time, that you're the one who's finding the properties for people. You're the one who's dealing with tradesmen, or the knowledge, you know, you're the one who goes to courses and understands how property investment works, building up a network with people in the industry who can actually get you better deals, better finance, better things in lots of many ways in terms of what you need for investing. So I've basically done all of those. And probably one of the most important things I've done as well is, which I've never used to be like that at all, is I was actually shouting about what I was doing on social media. And interestingly, it actually works. People do recognize the fact that you put in the effort in, the people like to see your journey. So it doesn't matter what you do, almost in a way, as long as you are improving, as long as you are learning and people see the improvement in what you do, People get to know you, which again is quite important. Know, like, and trust has never been true to anything other than people wanting to invest money with you. Because if they don't know you, they don't trust you, they're not going to give you money. It's quite simple. So all those things have helped me a lot along the way. So, you know, basically, as soon as we had a deal, and even just before having a deal, I was trying to give a lot of value to people in the community by posting lots of things that I've learned, voicing my opinion on certain things. You know, and it's not just property things, but, you know, there's a lot of things that people have, I guess, lack of experience in. So, you know, my business experience, for example, for my corporate life, has a lot of valuable input into people's questions around the community. Because let's face it, not everyone has a business acumen that us accountants and finance people have to build up, because that's our profession. So, you know, I've added a lot of value. I've shown what I've done, built up that sort of network around me, and I think that helped a lot.
Do you think, as with an accountancy background, that you're very risk averse?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that what it is, it's not just risk averse, but it's more, I don't mind taking risks, but I think I want that those risks to be calculated risks, yeah, if you know what I mean. So understanding, as opposed to just jump straight head first and then figure out later, is not necessarily my thing. So I kind of want to know what I'm doing in a way. I like, yeah, to, you know, I like to go ahead and do it, and I don't mind getting out of my comfort zone. But I think a little bit of understanding is definitely helpful. I think it's wise, to be honest, because especially if you're dealing with other people's money as well, you have to be even more careful than your own money, to be honest. So,
do you think you'd be where you are now had you not come on and got mentored and stuff? And I think a lot of people, for me, I think people will get there eventually, but I don't think they'll get there as quick or without making as many mistakes. What do you think you'd be where you are now, about to quit your job within a couple of years, had you not got the education? Or do you think you'd have got there quicker, slower? Where do you think you'd be? Do you think you'd get there at all? And don't just give an answer just because I'm here. I mean, give a genuine answer around, do you think you'd have ever got there? Do you think you would have got there, but over a longer period of time? Because many people, I feel, would get there, just not quite as quick, and maybe with more mistakes that hold them up.
I think it's more the case. I think I would have got there, because I'm quite persistent. You know, I do, once I put my mind to something, I tend to go after it and actually achieve it. But I think it just felt to me that it was the right thing to do because of, yes, what you say, you know, you're cutting out a lot of mistakes. I mean, even now, today, I give you a call if I get stuck with something. And that's not because I like the sound of your voice, but it's like, you know, you've got a ton of experience, and I'm stupid not to draw on that experience, you know? And there's a load of other people in the community that, you know, they're not mentors or, you know, haven't got a great deal of property portfolios, but I know that they have certain experiences in certain areas that they are far better at than I am. And there's no problem with, you know, admitting that I'm not the best at everything. And I think that's why I actually really probably gone as far as I have, because I have worked quite hard on building a good network around me over the last couple of years as well. So it wasn't just me going out there doing it all on my own. I've got a ton of great friends out of this over the last couple of years, people who I, you know, regularly contact with and, you know, keep in touch with. So yes, the mastermind was brilliant, but it's the people in the mastermind and all the knowledge in the mastermind that actually make it great.
That's what I always say. It's not Kevin's mind. It's a mastermind. It's the people in the room. That is the contacts, the potential JV partners, the potential business partners, the access to funding for people who trust you because they see you regularly, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And many people forget this or miss this, and they think it's just about the knowledge or the strategy, but actually it's the bigger picture on all of that stuff.
And on that as well, I think, you know, I guess you're known as a no money down guy, and I think you just talked about the whole no money down thing. I think there is a slight misconception, I think, in the community as well, that people who go to no money down are skint.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't got any money, right? I want to put that straight here. It's not the case at all. I've got investors from that group, and I know many people in that group who are, well, they're there because they have the money. They actually need people to do the deals for them. And then they don't just have 20, 30K. They got a lot more money. So I think there's a, you know, I think it's good for people to know that, you know, the money is in the room. It's been said many times before. And I think in this mastermind, it couldn't be any more true. I think we've got so many different from people from so many different walks of life, with different sort of bank accounts and, you know, I guess money in the bank account as well. So different experiences. So I personally love it. You know, I still go back, as you know, because you invited me back as a mentor. So I go on a regular basis. As soon as this is all over, I'm absolutely gunning to go back and meet people again. So I can't wait.
I can't wait till it's back. But Kirk is asking a question. Estevan, well done for coming so far, but what made you choose this strategy over all the others?
It was one of those things that before I started Kevin's course, I thought I was going to have to travel up to somewhere like Manchester or Liverpool or Leeds or somewhere like that, you know, the north. Well, I live in the south. So basically, I live in Reading. And house prices are nothing like what they are up north. So for me, it was one of those, okay, I could be one of those investors who save up for the next 10 years and buy one single buy to let. And, you know, in the next 15, 20 years, I might save up for another one. But once I went to Kevin's course, I thought, okay, well, there's this thing called rent to rent, but I don't actually need to invest, you know, 40, 50 grand into one property. Actually, out of 40, 50 grand, I could probably have myself 7, 8, 9. So basically the location of my geographical location and the house price, it kind of dictated what I was capable and able to do. So that was really it, really, for me. So I think Kevin always says on his course, and I think that's very true, is you don't necessarily have to go far from where you are. You just need to find the right strategy that works where you are. And it could be anything. There's loads of different things. So, and I think I say this to my mentees as well, because I know a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I need to travel. It's like, well, do you really? Have a think, have a good look around, understand your area, and maybe, just maybe, something is there for you to do.
The whole point of this is not to create another job, eating motorway services food and traveling up the country for hours away from your family. The whole point of this is to be close to home with your family. So Xavi's asking a question. What would you say to him? He had his first deal today and they rejected him on the signing of the contract day for a rent to rent. I feel that my issue is speaking on the phone and saying I do not have any deals. He can't lie. What would you say to him?
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry to hear that. That's a bit of a kick in the teeth to just pull out of something that you're about to sign. So, but look, I think you have to just keep going, to be honest. That's the only thing I can really advise on this is don't give up. If you got this far, almost closing a deal, you clearly are doing something right. So I think, you know, just have a good look at what actually made them decide that they want to pull out of this deal last minute. And just, to be honest, just go and meet them. Just ask them a question. You never know. There might be something completely different in their circumstances that changed that you have absolutely no control over. So I would say, first of all, find out what happened here. And whatever you've done to get to that point, I would just keep doing because that's a great thing. So well done anyway. Well done on that.
Absolutely. And I just add as well, Xavi, so everything Estevan just said, plus you quite often people, maybe not you, Xavi, but people presume they know why somebody said no to a deal. And the reality is presumption is the mother of all Irish ups. Or the other word, but the kids might still be up. Don't ever presume. So how do you find out why somebody said no to you on a deal? Maybe it's a completely different reason to the fact that I don't have a deal. Because I doubt it, right, that you got to the point where you were about to sign the contracts today, and then they found out, oh, it's just my first deal. You'd have covered that earlier and they still agreed to do the deal with you, but then pulled out last minute. So there's going to be another reason they pulled out last minute. And so what we do on our mastermind is use the group. It's your first deal. It's not our first deal. So we have done more deals. And my mentor, my partner, my JV partner, we have these number of deals. this is my first deal in this area, but we have all these other deals. See, that's not a lie, because we do have deals in the group. But do not presume you know why this deal fell apart. And absolutely back to what Esteban said is, you've got a deal to the day of signing. So you've done a lot of things right. A lot of steps have been correct. What you've got to do is repeat the process and trust that the next time you get a deal to the day of signing, they're not going to turn around again. Right? That would be the worst look in the world, that they turn around again and go, sorry, we're not signing now. It's the day of signing. So you just got to repeat what you did. You have proven to yourself now, and this happens all the time, by the way. People focus on the negative and the bad thing instead of the positive. And the positive is positive mentality, positive mindset. You have proven to yourself that you can speak to an agent and a vendor. You've proved to yourself that you can put a deal for a negotiation forward. You've proved to yourself that you can get a yes to a deal. You've proved to yourself that you can get the contract in and looked at and whatever, and you get to the point of the day where they're about to sign it. You've proved to yourself that this works because you got somebody to say yes to a deal. It's just they changed their mind on the last day. So actually, 95% of what's just happened is hugely positive, and you focused on the 5%. And it's a kick in the teeth, like Esteban said, but you got to focus on the 95% that went right, Javi, right? Because you're so close right now. And it happens to all of us. We've got deals that we get, deals that fall out of bed all the time. I was buying a property at auction, right? Buying an auction property at the moment in the last couple of weeks. 3 weeks ago, well, we put the offer in, it got accepted. We've been to solicitors, we've had the valuations, we've got all of this stuff done. Somebody has just put a higher offer in on Monday, meaning that it's a $5,000 higher offer, meaning it's going to cost me 5,250 quid now. Yes, just 250 quid. But it's cost me 5,250 quid because I've had to up my offer by 5,250 quid to be 250 quid better than the other person. So that's a kick in the teeth. $5,500, I could have gone to the Maldives. But this is the thing, shit happens. But you gotta just keep going knowing that there'll be another deal that you'll get $5,000 discount on that swings and roundabouts it. So keep going, Javi. By the way, another positive, the agent, right? Is it the agent or the vendor that decided to pull out? Because if it was the vendor, brilliant, because you still have the relationship with the agent. You've got an agent that wants to work with you. So there's so much positive that you can get out of this deal that you've got to focus on the positives, guys. I see too many people focus on the negatives. What else have we got? So
I'd like to have quite a few properties to my name by year five. Currently, if I'm perfectly honest with you, I'm focusing very much on the next 6 to 12 months, simply because it's a bit of a leap of faith going full-time into property. So yes, you know, I've got a business that's up and running. Yes, we have a business that's cash flowing, but I want it to be a lot more stable. I want, to be a lot more sort of cash flowing and, you know, be in a more sort of stable position. So I think I'm focusing very much on the next 6 to 12 months. But what I have now is I've got a plan that is fairly solid for at least that period of time. And once I have a little bit more time, I'm going to start focusing on that because I think it's key. They actually just set that target and work towards it. So yeah, it's a great question, Ollie. But at this point, I haven't got it. So you can give me a slap on the wrist when we next see each other.
So question from Karen. I missed her question. I've gone back looking for it, Karen. Sorry. It's just it scrolls away too quick. How many properties do you think you can manage? There's a number of questions here, so I'll round it into how many properties could you manage while still in a full-time job, working full-time, and how do you find time to manage them around your work and your family? So how do you, I guess, rounding that question in a bit more is, how do you get the work-life balance right, the job, the property, the family? How do you make time?
So that's one thing that I very quickly realized as well is, this obviously requires a fair amount of effort. So leveraging your time is a key to this. So the way I've done it is I've actually got business partners. So sharing a little bit of the risk, sharing the responsibilities, but of course sharing the profits as well. But that meant that there's a lot of things that could potentially go wrong as you're doing your property investing journey. While if you're having partners, you've got people to share the journey with, share the problems with, bounce ideas, because a lot of the times you think your idea is the best, but you put it to someone, they go like, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So, you know, it's great to have that sounding board as well. So for me, that was key. Now, I know a lot of people don't necessarily work well with other people. I personally have always been fairly a team member type person, so I quite like working in a team. But in terms of leveraging your time, if you're not a team person, I just say, look, as soon as you get to a position where you can afford at least a virtual assistant for yourself to do some of the admin work, go for it, because that's a really cheap way of buying yourself a lot more time if you can remove all those things. And that's one thing that I've done, or we've done, far too late to hiring a virtual assistant. There's a lot of the stuff that I thought, oh yeah, I'll just get around to it. Oh yeah, I'll just get around to it. Or, you know, my business partner will get around to it. And because we're all busy people, full-time jobs and families and, you know, the properties as well, things just start to slip after a while. And that's not the way I like to operate. So I always say to people now, when they ask me about having help, is that do it as soon as you think you can afford it. Don't wait, because you will regret it. And I know I've regretted it. I think we've waited probably 6 months too late to hire someone. So that's one thing. If, you know, somebody asked, what could I do differently if I could go back? That would be something I would do differently for sure. Definitely hire someone very soon. So hopefully that answers your question. It was a bit...
Yeah. I think that's something that pretty much everyone regrets is... What happened when I remember when I started, I was on $27.50 a month in my job, and I wanted to get to $3,000 a month to quit my job. And then I got to $3,000 a month, and I thought, well, if I quit my job and I've got boilers to break down or something goes wrong, and I was doing it alone at the time, so I didn't have a JV partner to share the risk with, share the reward. People think, oh, I don't want to share the reward, so I've got a JV partner. I that means I've got to share the profit. But you're also sharing the risk, sharing the work, sharing the tasks. It's 50% you're sharing everything. It's 50% on everything. So actually a huge benefit. But I was trying to do it all alone. And when I got to $3,000, I thought, if boiler breaks, I don't actually have $3,000. What if I get sick? I don't have my health care, all this stuff. So I'll double it. I'll get to $6,000. And what I didn't do was I didn't hire anyone. And I should have, because what I was thinking was, if I hire somebody and I pay them £1,000 a month, even part-time, then £1,000 a month, I'm not on $3,000, I'm on $2,000. And now I'm not making as much money. But the reality is, had I paid somebody £1,000, I would have got that. Every time you hire somebody, if it's £1,000, they need to bring in more than $1,000 a month. They need to create their wage. That's what a business person does. They hire somebody that brings in their own wage. Meaning that had I hired somebody sooner, given the money away, I'd have got more in quicker, because I've been able to do more viewings, I'd have been able to make more offers, I wouldn't have had as much admin to do. So literally, I would nearly, if I was starting again, I'd nearly, with the first £1,000 I made, I'd nearly hire somebody and pay them the whole £1,000 to go back to zero, just so I could outsource the work. Because if I got to £1,000, I know I can get to £2,000. And if I can get to two, I know I can get to four. And if I can get to four, I can get to eight. But the reason most people get stuck at
it's amazing what you know now.
Yeah, but the reason people get stuck at $1,000 or $2,000 is because they don't get people to help them, because there's only 24 hours in the day and you can only do what you can do in 24 hours. You need to outsource. You need to get other people to do stuff. There's no way I'd be able to do the amount of work I do in a day today if I didn't have staff. If I deal in ringing gas suppliers and electric suppliers and broadband suppliers, oh, the nightmares I have about that stuff and having a bookkeeper and all of these jobs. But you're not paying for the amount of earned income from your job. I've got a lot of staff today. I have 3 full-time and I've got bookkeepers and accountants and virtual assistants and all this stuff. But I'm not paying for them out of the money I used to earn in Lang O'Rourke. I'm paying for them from income that tenants pay me from properties. And they all bring in a higher return or free me up to do the income generating task. And everyone watching this, if you're doing tasks in your business that are not income generating, then you got to outsource them quickly. Get it outsourced. Get the first deal done. Get it outsourced. Income generating task, an IGT, get it outsourced. Get somebody else doing it. Free your time up to do the negotiating, the viewings, and the securing of the deal to bring more money into the business. Let's see what other questions we've got, Estevan. While I'm looking for questions...
The only thing I add to that as well is... The only thing I add to that as well, Kevin, it's not necessarily just the time, but what I've been finding lately, still working full time, is the headspace that takes away from all, you know, when you're doing all these tasks that actually don't add any value to your business, takes away all the creative headspace that you actually need to think about how am I going to take the business to the next level. And I think that is really the key, because time is something you can sort of play around with, get up a bit early, stay up a bit later, whatever. But the short space of time you have available when you really are creative, you really actually at your absolute top of your game in a day, is very limited, because you get phone calls, you get messages, you get on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. You know, there's loads of other distractions. So I think if I can cut a lot of that out, actually give some of these tasks over, just so I can actually use the headspace to think about what are my next steps? What do I really need to focus on? What is it actually really going to bring me the next house, the next deal that is going to make me more money? I think that to me is really key. And that's what I learned over the last sort of 6 to 12 months, of that headspace is almost priceless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, if you're like an Est fan, if you're loving the content, if you're finding this helpful, motivational, and inspiring, whatever it may be, give me if you want me to continue doing interviews every single Wednesday, No Money Down TV on a Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., hashtag NMDTV, hashtag No Money Down TV right now, or hashtag Midweek McDonald if you want this to continue. Because as soon as the community no longer wants this, I ain't doing it. Why should I? So give me some hashtags if you want another one of these next week, and I'll get somebody else on, and they won't be as good as Estevan, no doubt. Unless it's you that's on, and clearly you're better than Estevan, whoever you are, because I don't know yet, but I'll let you know. Next Wednesday at 7:30, we'll do another one of these if you want me to. So give us some love. Give Estevan some love. Give us a hashtag No Money Down TV or a hashtag Midweek McDonald, and I'll do some more of this every single Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Unless we're doing something else next Wednesday at 7:30, because we might have a challenge or something maybe around helping you and the community raise money. Not that we do have a challenge, not that something's planned, but if something was planned that wasn't announced yet that might be announced, there could be something else happening next Wednesday, but I'll still be here live on the Wednesday. But what am I talking about? I've no idea. You got to wait till the weekend, then you might find out. Alan,
you must have taken cryptic talk as a second subject at uni.
Say that again.
I said you must have taken cryptic talk as a second subject somewhere at university.
I'm not allowed to announce. I mean, there's nothing to announce. But if there was something to announce, I wouldn't be allowed to announce it yet.
Right. Okay.
Well, Alan Cleary is saying, what would you recommend to someone just starting out, Estevan?
Probably the key thing is to, look, I know you're on Progressive, and I'm not trying to advertise Progressive for you, but I think getting yourself educated really is key. Like for me, that was key, because I didn't know that there was such thing as rent to rent 2.5 years ago. And now I have a business around rent to rent and HMOs. To be honest, I didn't even know that HMO was a thing. And now I've considered myself...
There's people in this community that know rent-to-rent's a thing, and they think rent-to-rent's not a thing. They think, oh, that no landlord would give you their house, etc., etc. But...
Yeah, look, it is a thing, I always say to people, and some of my mentees ask the same thing, is like, oh, you know, why would I do rent-to-rent? It's like, look, you can dis rent-to-rent all you like, but I know a lot of people who have made a great success of it, and it's a very much legitimate strategy or a model to use to acquire properties. So, you know, it doesn't have to be HMOs. What I do, it can be a serviced accommodation if that's your thing. If you're more, you know, seeing yourself as a hotelier, then go for that. But look, I think don't discount it just because it's not something you own. I think a lot of people have issues with the fact that, oh, yeah, it can be legal. You know, it can be subletting is illegal and, you know, you should be owning a property. It doesn't make any sense. You know, why would a landlord give to you? And look, all those questions are going through my head as well. And they're certainly valid questions, but I would say that they are unfunded, really, because I've got landlords who are so happy to give me the keys to their houses that you wouldn't believe. They were the relief on their faces when they literally just, they left the keys on the table and said, bye, we're out. And we're not coming back. So, you know, it's just one of those that you have been people, you've got to think of this as like, what am I actually doing this? What is my role in this whole value chain of, you know, someone owning the house and someone renting a room? What is my role in that? And my role really, the way I see it is, I'm providing a service to the landlord. If I'm just talking about rent-to-rent specifically, I'm providing a service to the landlord and I'm providing a service to the tenant. And I'm making a money in between for doing this. And that's always called as the win-win-win sort of model or strategy, because just, everyone wins. If you do it right, everyone wins.
People think that the choice is, surely the landlord would do it themselves. Why would they give it to you to make money? Would they not do it themselves? But actually, you're missing a complete point here, because the landlord's choice is not do it myself or give it to Estvan or give it to Kevin. The landlord's choice is give it to the letting agent or give it to Estvan or Kevin. Their choice is not do it themselves. They've already decided not to do it themselves. That's why letting agents exist, because people want the baby, but not the labor pain. Our job is to take care of the baby for them so they can do what they want to do, because they've already decided they're not doing it themselves. And if you're thinking, why don't they do it themselves? You're missing out on the opportunity and you're letting Estvan make the money you should be making.
I'll tell you what, I've got another one on that as well, Kevin, because I actually have a landlord who was doing HMO himself and basically got to the point where he just couldn't do it anymore. He was more than happy to hand it over to someone, and the house was an absolute tip because we had some really bad tenants. So look, I mean, there's a lot of problems you can solve with this model. So I think if you're sort of two minds about whether you should do it or shouldn't, I'd definitely say look into it, because there's something in it. I'm not saying every single house will work. I'm not saying every single house you look at will be a deal. You have to do your own analysis. You have to educate yourself to make sure you are taking on the right properties that will actually make you money. Because we have said no to lots of properties over the last couple of years because some just didn't work. And some still don't work. I think you have to be very selective and don't be trigger happy just because there's a deal on the table. You know, yeah. Be selective, take the right ones, and then you have a sound business. And I think that's key to this. You know, don't take on just anything that comes your way, because I've seen some of the agents and landlords, you know, they just trying to push everything to you. Either it's too expensive, not the right location, not the right setup. But for them, it's, you know, it's ready to go. It's yours if you want it. So people are happy to give you properties, but you've got to take the right ones.
And yeah, don't get emotionally involved in the property where you go, I'm emotionally involved in getting your first deal. And what happens is the price starts to creep up by 100 quid, 50 quid, 20 quid, whatever it may be. And suddenly you're eating into your profit margin and you end up with a deal that doesn't make you any money anymore because you chased the deal instead of chasing the right deal. It's no point taking the keys of a house that doesn't make you money. It's got to make you money. It's a financial decision, a numbers decision, not an emotional decision. Espen, more questions coming in. Heather Ashley is asking us, what is your thoughts on rehiring a virtual assistant overseas versus hiring one in the UK?
So I haven't got one from the UK. I've got one from the Philippines, and she's absolutely brilliant. I think I was very lucky because she was actually recommended to me by somebody. But I think I know a lot of people who have VAs who are not in the UK. I think a couple of things I would certainly watch out for, just based on my experience, is make sure that the English is good enough, because obviously you want them to be able to understand your instructions, and you want to be able to understand what they give you as well. So I think it's a key element to it. So communication has to be very good, because obviously you're not going to meet this person, so you won't be able to do all the teaching over you know, sitting down next to each other at a desk. It all has to be probably via email or WhatsApp or whatever the case may be. So and make sure you get the person with the right skill set. So there are millions of people out there, and you know, it's the same here in the UK. You can't just pull anyone in from a street and go, oh, you do. Why don't you do and come and do my, you know, property business for me? And they have absolutely no skills that are relevant to what you need to do. So get those things right. Communication and the relevant skills, and I think you'll be fine. Anything you want to add to that, Kev?
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to that is everything he said again around you'll get much more value for money with somebody overseas. The only person that I use in the UK as a virtual assistant is my bookkeeper, because I want them to understand, and I found my bookkeeper on People Per Hour, I want them to understand UK law. So they need to understand UK law, UK accountancy, UK tax system. So that's a key bit. So UK bookkeeper, other stuff, admin, all that, English speaking, foreign person, Philippines is a country that's mentioned a lot, and India, other countries like that, where people, where they get a really good wage, by the way, for their country, and they live there. So, and it means that you can get a full-time, you can get a full-time person for maybe $400 or $500, sometimes $400 or $500 full-time in the Philippines. And that's a great wage for them, by the way. So you make sure you've, as Esteban said, though, it's the right person for the right role with the right skill set. And sometimes you've got to kiss a few frogs to get your princess, or whatever it's called. But they're there. They're out there. Get recommendations from people. The biggest challenge is if you've got a good one, you don't want to give it away. It's like a wife, you know. You get a good one, you want to keep it. If my wife's still watching you, I'm all in. You know, we've said that. So got a good one. Got to keep it. So she's probably still walking the kids because I kicked her out of the house earlier and she's not live watching, so she's gone. Give me your final top three tips you want to give to the community before you leave us this evening.
Top three tips.
I know, yeah, really you left spot. Night. Just go. About property, whatever. Top three tips.
About property, whatever. Well,
about life, if you like.
Right. Well, I think, you know, just my experience over the last couple of years has really taught me just to keep at it, guys. I think I've heard it many times, and I think it's very true. I certainly find it resonates with me that property is simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's a house, you let it to someone, you know, they pay, Bob's your uncle, done. But it's not easy. There's a lot of hard yards, a lot of ups and downs. So just keep at it. I think that would probably be my number one. Also keep improving on yourself, keep educating yourself if you can. So I think the other thing would be, keep educating yourself. I think I'm continuously doing stuff. I'm learning something new. So on a weekly basis, you know, recently I've started learning about how to advertise on Facebook, for example, because marketing is key to your business. So, you know, be persistent, keep going, keep learning, and just enjoy it, to be honest. Because if you don't enjoy this, if you're doing this property investing because you think this is the thing to follow because somebody else doing it, you don't do it. You know, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the people I'm around. I enjoy the whole side of going after deals, the rush of it, the you know, making the houses look better, giving people a nice place to stay. All of that actually gives me enjoyment, and I've developed a passion for it. So I think if you have to enjoy it, you've got to have a passion for it. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. So those are probably a key thing.
It is interesting.
Hopefully, that's
what you have. It is interesting, right, that you actually, it grows on you, property, doesn't it? And it becomes like a bit of a drug.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, I think what it does when you have success of it, right? I think, and I can see why it wouldn't for people who don't have a success of it, because it can grind you down as well. It can be full on, you know, social media, especially if you're part of these groups, it can be overwhelming, you know. Oh my God, that person got another deal. Oh my God, that person got another deal. And I haven't got a deal yet, you know? So it could be very much, you know, it could seem like a grind, but you know, if you haven't got your deal yet and you are working on it, you're doing the right steps, you will get there. I can guarantee it. Surround yourself with the right people and you will get there.
Good stuff. So guys, that Esteban, number one, thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, sharing your journey.
Thank you.
Hopefully that's inspirational for some people watching in. Hopefully that helps you in some way on your journey, wherever you're at, to just keep going. Don't quit. Back yourself. Keep trusting the system. Keep following the. You will get there in the end. Remember, it's not a race. It's a journey. Don't worry about how quick somebody else is getting there. Use how quick somebody else is getting there as an inspiration to you to get there as well. But don't use it as what I see some people do. Lack of inspiration or make you feel depressed and upset and annoyed with yourself because they're doing something that you're not, or they're getting the results quicker, and you start looking internally and thinking, what's wrong with me? Why am I not doing it? All of that is the wrong attitude. All of that is the wrong way to look at it. They just got there quicker than you. You can get there as well. It's the tortoise and the hare. It is follow your path at your pace in your area with your way. This is about you. It's about your family. It's about your journey. It's about your goals. at your pace. And some people do things quicker than others. Some people are a slow starter, some people are a faster starter. Sometimes the person who starts fast trips up and falls over, while the person that's slow and steady wins the race. So guys, keep going, keep pushing forward. Thank you, Esteban. I've been Kevin McDonald, he's been Esteban Vai. You've been absolutely awesome. Good night, everyone.